here with you. And I just want to say that, you know, it's an interesting and yet a special journey that we take. When I see settings like this, especially, you know, English ministry and multi-ethnic church plant starting out, it's really a blessing. I've done church plant long ago, and for 7 years, we had to set up, put it up and take it down every week for like 7 years. It was a my kids really didn't like it because you know, I have three children, and they had to, every Sunday we would come like an hour early to set up all the chairs, and they had to help out. And I think, you know, they appreciate those moments nowadays after looking back. But this is really a blessing to, you know, to have journey together like this, starting with a small group, and then later on, you know, the church will grow, God will bless. And, you know, this is truly a moment for all of you to cherish. I'd like to share with you from the scripture, from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. The title of our message today is The Mind of Christ. Verse 14, let me read the scripture passage for you. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Amen. Many signs we see in our country today, it points to division. Whether you're politically involved, where you're a Democrat or a Republican, they just hate each other's guts. Whether you're an African American versus the white Americans, they don't really like each other very much. Whether you're a LGBT representative against the rest of America, they don't like others very much. We have division in our country, whether it's in the inner cities, whether in the rural areas. There's a lot of divisions amongst ethnic groups, amongst political groups, amongst whatever groups that you might be involved in. So the question is, where did all these divisions come from? Divisions comes from an idea someone has. It comes from the mind. Divisions come because somebody thought something different than somebody else. So when leaders divide, and those who follow the leaders, they tend to divide the group and the country and the nation and whatever setting that they might be in. Division, we know it's very painful. Sometimes it costs lives. People's lives are at stake. And yet, in someone's mind, it began such idea to divide. Where we need to be cautious and to understand, the mind is very deceiving. Our human mind is very dangerous. Our human mind can cause harm, cause pain, even death. It is utterly important that we understand the mind of Christ. That differs from anything that you may see in this world today. Where did Marx get the idea of communism, where for almost a century, in the 20th century, just turned the whole world upside down? And we still have lingering countries that promote communism. We look back into history and we find these ideas that came from men that really, we can't even fathom such things happening this day and age. And yet, if you think about it, it comes even from each and every one of us. Every time that you think of challenging the authority, every time you think of going against your own peers or whatever that situation might be, where you think of an idea, I don't like this. I don't appreciate what's happening. I'm going to take a stand. And your own way, you have an idea and your actions will follow. And it can cause devastating results. And so with that setting in mind, let us look into the scripture passage today. In verse 14, it speaks of one group of people, the person without the Spirit. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. So there is this one group of people called those who do not have the Spirit. Scripture uses other words like unbelievers, sinners, the carnal man. And this group of people, those who are without the Spirit, the Bible is very clear. They do not understand the mind of Christ. They do not understand the will of God. While a person has to come to Jesus Christ by faith to be saved, a person doesn't have to do anything to be lost. In other words, those who do not have the Spirit, those who do not have the mind of Christ, it's not like they have to achieve that goal. They just simply don't have to do anything. And they will naturally go towards that path. You will naturally become carnal, sinful, wretched. That's how all of us are. We are a wretched, sinful creatures existing in this world. Man, oh man, I want to do what is right and what is good, and yet my hand is still in the cookie jar. Think about it. You wish and you know what's better, and yet your hand never leaves that cookie jar. It's human nature. We were born under this condition. If you think about it, we can relate because we understand. We know how evil and sinful that we can get. Our minds have wandered into places that people cannot even imagine. The mind of a human being. And because we are human beings, That mind that wander off to infinite sinfulness, it's like taking pictures, picture after pictures. We can like bring it back any given moment. Even things like things that we thought of or did in the past 10 years ago, we can still think about it. We understand it, we see it, and it's in our minds. It scares us sometimes. It scares us sometimes because the sins that we committed in the days of old. I became a Christian when I was 16. But I still remember the sins that I committed when I was 15. I was a bad boy. If I told you I was a bad boy, you may not believe, but I was a bad boy. In the city of Chicago, if you didn't know Peter Park in 19, I was a bad boy. You know, I happened to run into a couple months ago when I was in Atlanta, I ran into a pastor, and we were sharing our backgrounds, and I told him I was from Chicago, and he said, "Oh, really? I'm from Chicago." And then we started sharing. He's about like 5 years younger than me. And when he started talking about, "I know you. I heard about you." And then he said, "You're famous." "What do you mean I'm famous? How was I famous? What, did you come to one of my revivals when I spoke over there?" He said, "No, you're famous. You're the one that beat up everybody." Now, back in, late 70s, early 80s, immigration, folks came from Korea, by the loads. And, we had to, the Korean culture back in those days, you were either on top or you were on the bottom. There was nothing in between. Nobody was really happy. There was a hierarchy that you could not avoid. And it was just one of those things when you're not a Christian, one, and I didn't even know anything about church or faith or Christ, and the only thing that we connected was being a Korean. And of dozen or so schools in the north side of Chicago back in those days, each school had about anywhere from 30 to 50 Korean students, and they all formed Korean clubs. And then amongst the Korean clubs, we used to have competitions. And when we had sporting events and when we had dance parties and all those things, fights broke out. Fights would always broke out. A lot of these young male eagle, like you had to be better and stronger and whatnot. We used to like just rumble all the time, and so people were scared of our group of folks, my friends. And then I guess I happened to be the one that, led those guys. So whatever that story was, 4 or 5 years younger sibling, well not sibling, younger people, Koreans, would come up to the high school and they hear stories of Peter Park. I never thought 35 years later that somebody would come up to me and says, "I know you." And then he says, "You're famous." This is like, just blew me away. That's why I would never go back to Chicago. It's just, it's a place where I grew up, but then I would never go back to live there again. It's just, the mind of man, our human mind, the things that we can do, the things that we could think of, imagine. We are in desperate, desperate need of a salvation. If God did not come down to us, where would we be? If Christ did not give himself for us, where would we be? Now, you know, we can imagine the worst of man. At the same time, we hope for the best of man. And we know it's so hard to accomplish. But when we understand Christ, we understand the things that we have in common. Christ reminds us we are all created in the image of God. Christ reminds us we are all loved by God. Christ reminds us that we have a place to go. But on the other side, there is another form of not understanding the mind of Christ. Even though we have come to faith, even though we have received God's blessing and we are saved, we also have time to time belong to this tendency called immaturity. Now that's a whole different ball game here. Immaturity, even though we are saved, we can be immature sometimes. I know Pastor David is here and he has two infants. At one time we had infants raising in our family, and those were not so good old days. As I recall, the infancy or the immature state of man is where you really don't care about anybody else. You're alive, but you don't care about anybody else. I wonder if this kid knew what his parents are going through. If he could possibly, like, you know, let him sleep for a little longer. You know, give him a chance to get that extra hour of sleep. Why do you have to cry? What's in your head that you have to cry? Okay, so you poop, you did it, so what? Just, you know, suck it up and let him sleep. But no, you have to cry. Change my diaper, you say. Give me the bottle, you say. Why do you have to cry? What? Why is that communication in such a way, you know, as parents, you know, we just fall into that trap. Every time they cry, we come. And then I've seen some young adults raise their children. They have a separate bedroom. They close the door. Even though they cry, they just stay away. I've seen some, you know, young people do that with their children. And I guess that's one of those training methods, but I couldn't. My wife, she couldn't, and we kept running over there, and they kept crying, and it was a never-ending crying battle for like 3 years. Multiply by three, so like 9 years, almost a decade of crying, and we're running. We're running back and forth. Why couldn't they just be that honorable children that they ought to be? They're Koreans, aren't they? Aren't they supposed to like honor their parents more so than any other ethnic group out there, right? But no, they kept crying. Immaturity. It is a sign that so I have to point this out. I am so glad to be a grandparent. I am a grandparent. I am so glad to be a grandparent. You see, I don't have to deal with that 10-year period. I just go, because they are the cutest thing. Children, infants, they are the most, they're just touch their hands. If you hold the baby's hand, I guarantee you, you're not going to let go. You love that little hand. You know, it's amazing. And then you will lie down together. You put your face next to their face, and you could stare at each other for about 10 minutes without, you know, blinking. Just, oh, those are the best moments. And then you give them back to the mom and dad. Yep. You give them right back to mom and dad. And I'll see you next month. I'll come visit again. I'll play with the kid again for a few hours and I'm gone. Oh. Immaturity. We have experiences in our lives where we just tend to just cry. We expect God to come running after us. We don't know how to control ourselves. We have these tantrums where we just... And you know the amazing thing is that God still understands when we do this. When we have a fit, God doesn't leave us. When we like say we're going to throw in the towel, we threaten God and God still doesn't leave us. We know we are immature. We know. Because sometimes we, once in a while, we come out of our immaturity. And then we look back and we feel terrible. We feel terrible. Because sometimes we have these moments where we realize how sinful we are. We understand the tendencies that we have. We know what it's like to be have the mind of a fallen human being. We know what it's like to have a mind of an infant. We know what it's like to have that sinful experience. And so we come to grips with ourselves. And we have these regretful moments. We have these moments of repentance, which is a good thing. But one thing I challenge all of you, my brothers and sisters, one thing I challenge all of you is not to dwell on our weaknesses. But there's one thing that I challenge you is to pursue going after the mind of Christ. You need to pursue after, seek after every moment that you can possibly have in the right mind, with a mature setting, with a heart that is open before God. You need to pursue God, the mind of Christ, willfully, with everything that you could possibly muster out of yourselves. Seek after God. God knows, time to time, we fall back a step or two. But the moments that you have to go forward, you need to go 10 steps up. Pursue after God. So as to, in the end result, that you're constantly going upstream to the place where we are going, to the place where we know where we ought to be. That stream falling downward can be strong at times. You need to muster everything that you have at times to jump over those rocks to the next level. The mind of Christ is something that we need to always pursue. Let me share with you from this passage. mind of Christ is revealed in verse 6 through 13 this way. In the same chapter, verse 6 through 13 says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God, things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in the words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spirit-taught words." Amen. The mind of Christ was hidden from before time began. And yet, because God loved those who love Him, God, through His Spirit, reveals, teaches, helps us to understand and make judgment according to the mind of Christ. This is the beauty. It is a possession. It's a possessive verb used here. We have the mind of Christ. It's not something that you know, like the monks in Buddhist temples, you beat yourselves day after day, month after month, year after year. All of a sudden you get to this enlightenment. No, it's not like that. It's a possession. You either have it or you don't. You either possess it or you don't. The mind of Christ through the Spirit of God, you possess it. If you are a believer, you possess it. Sometimes we think like this. Yes, we possess it. The mind of Christ, all revealed in Scripture. Can you repeat everything in Scripture, word for word? Did you memorize it all? No, that's not what it's saying. We wish that could be possible, and we wish we were in that situation. But what Scripture is saying is, you either have it or you don't. When you have it, it is the Spirit of God, the work of the Spirit, that reveals to us. So even though you don't hear another word of God from this day forward that you place in the remotest part of this world tomorrow, you will still be taught by the Spirit of God. Even though you don't have the Word of God in front of you, you will have the Spirit of God to reveal things to you. We wonder how in the days of old, in the days of Abraham, in the days before Abraham, how in the world God's people understood the ways of God? How did they understand the mind of Christ, the Son of God, from glory to glory? How did they understand? Because the Spirit of God was still moving and active long ago, as He is moving and active within us today. He will reveal to you the heart of God. He will reveal to you the secrets of this world. So pursue it. Go after it. You will find things that you never found before. You will understand things that you never understood before. How deep can you go? I don't know. I haven't gotten to the bottom yet. How deep can you go? How much can you understand? I don't know. I haven't understood everything yet. There's so much. In this day and age, if mankind can do things that we can't imagine doing 100 years ago, can you imagine how deep and wide the mind of Christ is? Another thing that I'd like to share with you from understanding the mind is that we also share in our struggles. Because we live in this day and age, in this world, we struggle. We share in common the everyday life. We are grateful that we're living in this day and age, that we're not living 60 years ago somewhere in the middle of a war zone in Korea. We're thankful we're living in this day and age and not living in Joseon Dynasty where 90% of us will be slaves. We're thankful that we're living in this day and age. If you go back any further, it will be worse, not better. We live in this day and age that each and every one of us, though we share in the same struggles, we are far better off than most generations that lived before us. And we have the opportunity to seek, to find deeper and more the gems that are hidden, the mysteries that wasn't revealed in the mind and the heart of God. We have the opportunity to seek it out. Somebody dug those caves through the rocks. They chiseled and chiseled, and many have died along the way, but we're the ones. We're deep inside this hill, and the gold is right before us. We just need to go a little bit further, deeper, and then we find those treasures. History. Can you imagine if you lived in a day and age where there was no printing machine and no one had a Bible and no one can speak of it, no one can understand it? You have to listen through those who may be deceiving us, using those words, you know, written in a language that nobody understood. Can you imagine? But we live in this day and age, even though we share and the struggles of everyday life, you have the opportunity. This is the best setting possible. The best setting possible that you can actually grasp the depth and the width of the mysteries that have been hidden for ages. You have the opportunity right before you. You dig and you're not too far away from finding treasure. Right before you. The mind of Christ, recorded in Philippians, which we know so well of. Let me read this passage to you in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore,
God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Having the mind of Christ is to understand the humility, the love, the sacrifice. It is on and on. You want to know how to love your enemy? Watch how Christ loved the enemy. He ate with them. He healed them. He gave himself for them. He forgave them. You want to know how to deal with family? He called them out by name. He knew their heart. He knew their pains. He knew their suffering. He even brought back them to life. In order that the name of Christ be lifted up, did you know, even if you don't do anything, Christ will still lift you up one day? This is all in that package. You dig. Sit at your chair within those cubicles and just fathom how awesome and great love of Christ is for you. And just honor him with your life that brings forth the mind and heart of Christ each and every day. There's beauty in folks living the life of Christ. There's joy in that. There's reward in that. The Holy Spirit indwells each and every believer, enlightens the believer, and reveals the mysteries to them. And to them, he also gives them wisdom. This is all part of the mind of Christ that Holy Spirit works within us. We have the responsibility to be good stewards of learning, being teachable, being open, allowing the Spirit to transform us, renew our minds. Even though we cannot forget our past, even though we have a hard time coping with the images that still flashes back and forth, as long as the Spirit continues to wash us day after day, day after day, there's gonna come a day where we will no longer sin. There's gonna come a day where we will no longer desire to sin. One of the most profound theologies in Presbyterian Church is the doctrine where one day when we will be with Christ in his presence, we will not desire to sin. We will not be able to sin. We wonder if that's even possible, but it is. In the presence of God, I guarantee you, No one will even conceive of sin, whether the sins that we committed in the past or not. We will not be able to sin. That's how much we will be changed. That's how much we will be in the presence of God. That's how different we will be. It is a journey that we take together, but we all look forward to that day when we will all see Christ face to face, when we will no longer sin, when we will no longer desire to sin, but we will rejoice in the presence of the Lord. And that is why the Bible constantly reminds us and challenges us and exhorts us to live life of the future in the present. And that's why sometimes it's very hard for us to grasp messages that are seemingly impossible, and yet the Bible calls us to live like as if we are already there. For example, when the Bible says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." And we say, "I can't. Someday I will, but not yet." No. Scripture is saying, someday you will, but today, yes, you can. That's why offer yourselves as living sacrifice. Don't bring me animals. Don't bring me grains as offering, but bring me your very hearts, your lives, your everyday life. Don't bring me Sundays. Don't give me one day a week. Give me everything that you have and you can. And we have these conflicts. Scripture is clear. It is the work of God that began long ago. I'm not sure when it began in your life, but it began in my life when I was 16. That wretched kid in Chicago turned upside down. Literally, my life was turned upside down. It would never be the same ever again. And I tell you, we can. For we have. There were moments where we've already been through such life. And that's why we keep coming back. We know what we must do. We know how it is to live those moments, those God experience moments. You can. You must. For the challenges of Scripture is that through our lives, where we possess the mind of Christ, where we exercise the mind of Christ, where we, in the end result, our goal, not for ourselves, but to live for God, for the glory of God, for the glory of the Lord who gave himself for us, we can give him glory through sharing of the gospel, transforming the world around us, and reaching the ends of the earth so that we can say with clear conscience and with full understanding, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, come." We can say that. For his coming is imminent. It is a lot closer than you think. The treasure is right around the corner. So keep pursuing, brothers and sisters. Don't give up. Enjoy the ride. Seriously, life as we experience here on earth is truly amazing. As complicated as it may be, someday we will look back and we'll have a good laugh. We will have a true moment of gratefulness and thankfulness that we can share together. And we will dine, we will eat together, we will share our lives together in that day. So let us pray together, shall we? Our gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We are blessed to have the mind of Christ, the endless knowledge, the endless wisdom. Lord, knowledge is power. Knowledge is treasure. Wisdom are the jewels. Lord, we live in this world that is still in darkness. There are fighting and biting, and there's chaos and confusion. And in the world of darkness, help us to enlighten the world by becoming the light. The light that you shine within us. The mind of Christ that reveals things that we had no idea. Understanding of depth and width, love and justice. Lord God, I pray my brothers and sisters, in their journey of this life, in every day, that they can find moments that they connect with you, to have that moment where they understand a mind of Christ, that it will dawn on them and it will brighten their day, it will open up their minds in such a way that they can shed light onto every perspective, every situation, and every need there may be out in this world, that we can be your hands and feet to serve you, to glorify you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will use us as your instruments. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Why don't we all stand? And I think that was just really a helpful thing to just think about and reflect upon again. As we go through life's troubles and the sorrows and the struggles, I think a lot of times it's hard to focus on the mind of Christ and really pursue the mind of Christ. I think we have that tendency to really just focus on that weakness or that struggle or that tension. But really, I just want to give us a few minutes just to respond to the message and just spend that time to really think, Lord, in these moments, help me to just pursue you, Lord, to seek you, to seek your mind, Lord, to through scripture, through prayer, Lord, to pursue you. And I think that's, easier said than done. I think when we're in the trenches of life, it's hard to do. But that as Christ followers, as those who have the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the helper. He leads us. And so let's just continue to just respond to the message. And we'll end with a song of worship. So let's just pray together.